The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus had eaten the Passover with his disciples. It was a meal to celebrate and remember how the Lord, by a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, had claimed their ancestors being held as slaves in Egypt, as his own people. He had delivered them out of the house of slavery in order to keep the covenant he made with Abraham to give his descendants the land of Canaan. Theirs wasn't just a sterile remembering. The 12, and Jesus too, could trace their ancestry to the children of Israel in Egypt. In their ancestors, the Lord had rescued them, claimed them as his own, delivered them from bondage, blessed them to be his people, and given them the land he had promised on oath to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants after them. As they were celebrating the Lord fulfilling his gracious covenant with Abraham, Jesus had taken bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Do this," Luke records Jesus saying, "do this in remembrance of me." Having celebrated the Lord's covenant with his people in the Passover meal, Jesus was instituting a new meal for his people, a meal celebrating an even greater deliverance. The deliverance from slavery to sin, death, and Satan, which Jesus was about to accomplish for all sinners by his innocent suffering and death. This meal does more than just celebrate, though. It also delivers. It gives the people, still 2 millennia later, the gifts Jesus earned for us by his perfect righteousness in life and in death. This meal is God's gracious answer for those who are troubled by their sin. I pray that that includes each of you, because anyone who is not troubled by his sin is in very deep trouble. Indeed, such a person, Luther advises, should first touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say in Galatians 3 and Romans 7, namely, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Those who do such things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And from Romans, nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. These words of St. Paul are true of you, aren't they? Having addressed the problems of the flesh, Luther continues, second, such a man should look around to see whether he's still in the world, and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15 and 16, and in 1 John 2 and 5. Among the things you find there are these words of our Lord. In this world you will have tribulation. And then of his apostle, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. Also, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You're familiar with this world, aren't you? Perhaps after the past year more than ever. Finally, Luther says, such a man will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2. These passages teach that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Is your adversary, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, and also teach, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If you are not troubled by your sin, these words of Luther and the passages he urges you to consider serve as a bright spotlight. They illuminate just how desperate and how helpless you are in the face of the dangers from your own flesh, from the world, and from the evil foe whose intent for you is deadly woe. They are a deadly threat to you. Indeed, without God's rescue, will land you in hell for all eternity. But the Holy Supper is God's gracious remedy for all who are troubled by their sin. Here you participate. The word St. Paul uses is koinonia. That is, you are brought into fellowship. You are joined in a holy communion with the very blood and body of Christ. There isn't anything more precious on earth. Even if you could find the cross on which Jesus died tomorrow, there'd be nothing for you there. Our Lord has made no promise concerning that ancient piece of wood. But he doesn't leave you merely to think about his suffering and death, to imagine him saying to you, as he once said to the paralytic or to the sinful woman who washed his feet, "Your sins are forgiven you." No, in the supper, he binds himself to you with his blood and his body. He is here present for your benefit in his very blood which he shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. He is here present for your benefit in his body broken nearly 2,000 years ago on the cross so that you might live forever. The cup of blessing that we bless, Paul writes, is it not a participation, a fellowship, a communion, a blessed joining into one in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? There is a mysterious reality that takes place when by his word and according to his promise, Christ makes himself present for you and me in and with the wine and bread of his supper. He doesn't say how he does it, but he says he does, and explains why and to what end. It is for you, for your salvation, that in a tangible way you might receive forgiveness and be united to him, so that in the end, where he is, there you might also be. Through his holy precious blood, which he dispenses to you here, you become holy. Though your sins are like scarlet, here he makes them as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, at his table they become like wool. You are united with him in a holy communion, so that when the Father looks at you, he sees the perfect holiness and complete righteousness of his only Son, whom he loves. But there's even more to this communion. For here you are not united not just to Christ, the head, but also with every member of his body as well, whether here on earth or already at rest at Abram's side awaiting the resurrection. Luther preached about all who partake of the one bread becoming one body in this way. The Holy Sacrament produces two things. One is that it makes us brothers and fellow heirs of the Lord Christ, such that it makes us one cake with him, that is, one bread with him. The other, that we also become common and one with all other people upon earth, and also all become one cake. Since you have Christ's body and blood, thus you have all the power which God himself has. That is, we become one cake with the Lord Christ. We walk in the fellowship of his benefits, and he in the fellowship of our misfortune. For here are thrown together his godliness and my sin, my weakness and his strength, and thus all is held in common. What is mine becomes his. What is his, I also have. This is a high, unspeakable grace, over which the heart must become joyous and courageous. If you are one cake with Christ, what more do you want? You now have incomparably more than your heart desires, and you sit in paradise. It is the same also among us. We all become one cake and partake of each other. In the oneness that we share, partaking together of the one bread Christ, I give myself for the common good and serve you. And you make use of what is mine, of which you are in need. Thus, when I help and serve you in all need, I am your bread. On the other hand, if you are also a Christian, you in turn act in the very same way. You, with everything you have, serve me. For me, all comes together for good, and I partake of the same as food and drink. If it happens that I am a sinner, and you by God's grace are pious, you strengthen me, and you share your piety with me. Pray for me, intercede for me before our God, and cast all of it upon yourself. You swallow up my sin in your godliness, just as Christ has done for us. Thus, Luther concludes, you partake of me, and I in turn partake of you. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Indeed, blessedly they are. And because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. It is true. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.